I think the benefit of today was being able to directly converse with the governor and with the Secretary of Agriculture for North Dakota to understand that they will be advocating for some disaster realizations for the state of North Dakota, the scale of which we have not seen before in terms of the amount of crop left to be harvested. You know, $5-7 billion worth of product out there yet that is at risk of certainly not a complete harvest, but even a damaged product harvest that's going to have to happen in November.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know you really gave an agronomic standpoint of, you know, depending on what crop is left in that field, what conditions we're left with really impacts that. Could you help me sum that into one package?
Well, we started subsoil, I think, in the reference. You started with potatoes, and those guys are most challenged because they've got to pull that up out of the ground. And those potatoes now have been sitting without oxygen in water, you know, for 3-4 weeks. So that industry is fairly well challenged. Then if you move up in the soil profile, you've got sugar beets, shoulders of which are above the ground, but the roots down in that mud, and our soil won't support the heavy equipment. And when we do get stuck, our other equipment loses traction, so we just simply can't get that product out of the field. We've done all we can on the tiled ground, which you would expect to be the driest, and so now it moves into a little more recovery mode unless the weather squares away. From sugar beets, then you move up to the edible bean crop. North Dakota, number one in the nation on edible beans, and supplying about 40% of what the nation consumes, and those guys are at risk. They've got partial crop harvested. I think they're 35% harvested, and what remains is, again, a salvage job. You're going to have to leave the first 2-3 inches of that plant on the surface of the soil because our equipment won't run on wet ground. It'll simply sink, plus the investment of changing your harvest equipment perhaps to flotation. Then you move above that to the soybeans. That's an oil seed. You know, those guys we're a little better with the soys because they'll shed water. You know, it's an oil seed. And we can get those on frozen ground. Our concern there, like with all the other crops, is that the frost won't get there, right? The crop itself standing is insulating the surface. There's no sunlight reaching there. There's also no wind reaching there. And we talked about the water percolating down at 1/3 of an inch a day in ideal conditions. So we're holding that water in the subsoil, and it's just going to be a challenge for the soybean guys to get anything done until it freezes. And the corn guys, they're the next guy up on terms of elevation for crop above the ground, and they'll face the same challenges. Waiting for that ground to freeze, and of course, corn's a great insulation above that surface as well. So their challenges will be pushed back into December, and then the product is going to be wet, so we'll have to, you know, buy gas to dry these things down. So it just seems to multiply, and then we expect that when we freeze up in December that this problem will be our own next spring, right? Mm-hmm. That the soil has not released the moisture that it needs to be, because we're 600% roughly the amount of rainfall we would normally get in this time frame. So it's a multi-year issue that we're looking at right now.